Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Say all praise is due to Allah, the Lord, the cherisher, and the sustainer of all the worlds. We greet you, dear beloved brothers and sisters, with the greetings of peace in the language of the Quran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed to a little more than 1400 years ago, is a slave servant of Allah. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, today we want to deal with a very, very important subject, and it's one that we don't talk about that much, but I feel that it is important that we do talk about it, because it has to do with being able to protect ourselves as individuals, protect our family life, and protect our community life. And that the particular subject that we want to deal with, as we have stated, is the dumbing down of the intellect of the masses, the dumbing down of the intellect. And just to give everybody a brief explanation of what we're referring to when we talk about the dumbing down, you know, dumbing down, that's a phrase that a lot of people use here in today's world. And actually what it's talking about is destroying the intelligent mind, destroying the intelligence of the people. And the way that the mind is usually destroyed, the method that is used when we talk about dumbing down the mind, we mean dumb, like ignorant, people who know nothing, being in the dark, you know, not able to hold a serious conversation about anything. Yeah, that's what we're talking about when we talk about dumbing down, not aware of world events, not being aware of how world events impact our individual lives, not being concerned that much about what's happening in the society, because our mind has been dumbed down. So that's what we're talking about here. Now, the method that is used in dumbing us down is the media, mostly, you know, the print media, newspapers, magazines, and these kind of things, the television, music, also the commercial world. And we know that the commercial world is primarily behind media influence. They have to influence your train of thought in order to get you to buy their commercial product, So they don't want you to have to think about what you're doing. They would prefer that you move on impulse as opposed to moving on intelligence. They want you to be impulsive buyers, you know. So in order to accomplish this goal, they have to invade the psyche. They have to invade the mind put the mind on a very shallow level. You know, we don't think about anything anymore. We just do it. I think Nike, the athletic shoe company, they had a slogan out that said, "Just do it," you know, with the big swoosh sign, the big swoosh Nike swoosh sign. And the language that they used, it was just three words. Just do it. Don't think. Just do it. So and when the commercial world puts out that kind of a slogan, when they put out that kind of language, they're not necessarily speaking to the masses of the people. They're speaking to other commercial entities. They're speaking to other commercial entities. And what I mean by that is this, is that when they're speaking to other commercial entities, they the message to the other commercial entities is that this is the method that we will use in order to get the masses of the people to come our way. This is the method that will be used, you know. And so, like, when Nike put that language out there in the atmosphere in that manner, then other big men, big businesses, other corporate entities pick up that same message, and they begin to use that same method to appeal to the impulsive tendencies and the masses of the people in order to get that money, in order to get them to patronize their business and these kinds of things. So that's what we mean when we talk about dumbing down the minds of the masses to prevent us from thinking. And when you prevent a person from thinking on an intelligent level, when you make that person's mind so shallow, then you actually, the one who controls that kind of influence, is the one who's really in charge of that person's mind, of the individual's mind, the minds of the masses, to manipulate the thinking of the minds of the masses, you see. You know, sometimes when you talk like this, when you talk about these kinds of subjects, you know, people will say, oh, they accuse you of being paranoid. Oh, you're just paranoid, you know. But, and that's the way that they want you to think. That's the way that they want you to think. And many times when you hear people accuse a person of being paranoid, those are the ones, especially if they're in positions of influence, those are the ones that really they work for Shaitan. They work for Shaitan themselves, you know. So they want to make you look silly. They want to make you sound silly. To make you think that you're just scared, you're just paranoid. They want to make you look silly in the minds of the public, so that people won't listen to what you have to say. Oh, he's just paranoid. Oh, you think that somebody's trying to rule the world, huh? Ha ha ha. You know, that's the idea that they try to put you in. That's the kind of that's the picture that they try to paint you in, so that people would think that, you know, you're just paranoid. You know, you think that they accuse you of being of talking about conspiracy theory. Oh, you think this is a conspiracy theory, huh? You know, so that's what they do. So what I would like to do, dear beloved brothers and sisters, is as we get into this. Because, you know, we hope that, you know, people will catch the broadcast this morning and ask questions and make comments, you know. And we will get to your comments shortly. I want to say this, and that is that nothing, this we do not live in a haphazard society. Nothing happens by chance. This is not a haphazard world that we live in, you know, and you can see that just by if you've been paying attention to the news here of late, you know, with the news about the NSA spying that's been going on, that this brother named Edward Snowden, you know, released documents, you know, about this broad area that the National Security Administration is levying against all not only people here in America, but they're eavesdropping on everybody. It's a worldwide operation under President Barack Obama. You see, so that just goes to let you know that this is not a haphazard run society. Things don't just happen because they just happen. We live in a very, very controlled environment. And unless we understand that, we will become victims of that environment. The other thing is this, is that it's important for us to understand that because we need to put protection on self. We need to put protection on family. We need to put protection on community life. And if we understand the environment that we live in, then we can prepare ourselves. We can to be able to deal with what's coming down the pot, what's coming down the pipe. The first topic that we want to deal with, dear beloved brothers and sisters, as we sent out earlier this week, is this statement in Islam is called, we say that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the unlettered prophet. You see, and many people have taken that statement in the literal sense. Many people have taken that statement in the literal sense, and they want to say that the prophet was unlettered, meant that he was not able to read or write, and these kinds of things, like he was an imbecile, you know, and for people to think that way, you know, just on that particular level, is a testament to the fact that they are unlettered, that they are unlettered. We can't look at society and the events in society, dear beloved brothers and sisters, and just say that this is happening because it's just happening, you know. Now, society don't operate like that. People got too much investment. They got too much interest. They got too much going for them to just allow something to happen just because it happened. People try to control the way people think. People try to control the direction that people go. You know, many of these social network companies, Google, Yahoo, all of these companies, you know, that you hear about, Apple, you know, Samsung, you know, they get information on each person that subscribed to their particular company. And when they get this information, they study it, they analyze it, they look at your personality, they look at what kind of conversations you have, they look at what kind of shopping you do, they look at what kind of music you listen to. And when they get all of that data compiled, they sell it to the big conglomerates so that the conglomerates can manipulate you into coming into their establishments to buy their product. So stop thinking that this society we live in is haphazard. It is a very, very controlled environment that we live in, and we have to begin to understand that. And the only way that we can survive as a human being, I mean, I don't mean, you know, physical life or death. I'm talking about survive as a human. Survive as one who wants to be in control of his or her own destiny. That's what I'm talking about. Is that we have to begin to understand this, and we have to begin to think like that. Now, Now, and this is not Yahya Shabazz who's saying this. This is what our leader and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad, gave us. This is the kind of instruction that we got from our leader and teacher, Imam Muhammad. So this is not just coming from me. This is what I learned from my leader and from my teacher. In Almighty God, Allah's holy book, in the Holy Quran, in Surah 96, Alaq, or Iqra, or proclaim, or read. Allah says to us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Iqra bismi rabbika al-lazi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbi ra rabbukum akram. So Allah says to, he says this, proclaim or read in the name of thy Lord and cherisher, who created man out of a leech-like clot. Proclaim, and thy Lord is most bountiful. So what is this particular ayat, this surah telling us? What is this surah telling us? You know, we said a minute ago that many of us take that term about Prophet Muhammad being the unlettered prophet, we take that in a literal sense, without realizing that before our holy prophet received Quranic revelation, he was a businessman. He was an upright, upstanding businessman. He was conducting business. He was traveling all across country in the vicinity where they live, conducting business. As a matter of fact, one of the qualities that his first wife, Lady Khadija, noticed in him was his ability to conduct business and to make business prosper. And indeed, after they were married and he took over the business, her business, you know, she was a businesswoman. And her business began to prosper. So that alone tells you that Prophet Muhammad was not some imbecile. He was not some dumb man who couldn't read paper, who couldn't figure numbers and these kinds of things. He was a businessman before he received Quranic revelation. And he was an upright businessman. So then what is it, so when it says that he was an unlettered prophet, it only means, it doesn't mean that he was not able to read or write. And we need to grow up out of that kind of literal thinking, you see. Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him and grant him the Jannah, forgive him for his shortcomings. Imam Muhammad says this, he said that, we must grow out of the kindergarten type of way of thinking. Kindergarten thinking. Big, small, ugly, pretty, sweet, sour. You know, that kind of thinking. We have to grow up out of that. We must grow from that kindergarten type of way of thinking, that basic morals kind of way of thinking, and grow into moral logic, ethics, integrity, and these kind of things. That's when we begin to grow into the human being that Almighty God, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wants us to grow into. We grow from a kindergarten level of thinking to an adult level of thinking. And therefore, we become able to watch the events that's happening, the circumstances that's come about in the environment, and we're able to deal with them in the way that they should be dealt with, or at least speak on them as much to our ability as we can. So this word Iqra, it does mean to read, to recite, but it means more than that. It has higher meaning to just picking up a slip of paper or a pamphlet or a book and reading the words on the page. It means more than that. It means learning about the environment that you live in. That's what it means, more so. When we learn about the environment that we live in, then we're able to control more of our circumstances that we live in. Learn about climate control. What is climate control? I'm not talking about Fahrenheit, centigrade, and all of that. I'm talking about the weather in that respect. I'm talking about the environment that we live in as human beings, the environment that we live in as family people, the environment that we live in as a community. We have to control that environment. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what this word ICRA is really talking about. It means to read, to recite, to explore. It means to follow up on something, to pursue something. Not only that, but it means to teach other people to read, to educate other people, to teach them to learn about the environment that they live in. That's what it's talking about. You see? And God is not just saying, this is not just a suggestion from God. This is not just a suggestion, but it's a command. This in the Arabic grammar, this word ikra, it begins with an aleph. It begins with an aleph, and the aleph not really being a part of the word itself, but it's connected to the word kareh. So this aleph is connected to the word, and it in the Arabic grammar it means to command. So Allah is given the command. He's given the command to read. Ikra. That's what he's given. It's the command. And it means to go out and explore, to study, to recite, to teach, to observe. Are you going to be out there just observing and say, oh, yeah, there's something happening out there? Well, I done seen it now. Let me go on back home. What's the purpose in you reading? What's the purpose in you reciting? What's the purpose in you observing if you're not going to do something with what you gain that knowledge for? This is, Allah says in the Quran, we did not create this environment for idle sport. If we wanted to do it just to pass time, we could have found something closer to us. We have to understand how we're going to apply Quranic instruction, how we're going to apply Quranic knowledge. That's what we have to understand. And then Allah goes on to say to us, he created man out of a leech-like clot. We're going to get to your calls in just a second. He created man out of a leech-like clot. Is it kalikal insan min alaq? What is it saying? This alak, you know, a leech-like clot, it means to hang, to be suspended, you see. But now, it's not talking about just in the literal or the physical sense, but what it's talking about, you know, the reason that the translator used leech is because a leech is something that attaches itself to something, you know. It's a creature that attaches itself to another creature or another part of creation, a wall or whatever, you see. So what is that telling us in terms of our psychological or our mental or our mind? What is that telling us? It means that We have to study the environment that we live in. We have to study it. We have to explore it. We have to be able to read it, and then we have to be able to retain it. This is our nature. This is our human nature that God has given us. When he said, out of a leech-like clot, he made the nature, the mind of the human being to be able to absorb events, to absorb the creation and use those events, use that creation to advance the positive community life. He didn't want us to look at this as like water rolling off of a duck's back. If we had done it like that, we would not have the modern day advances and inventions that we have today. Because shallow thinking gets you nowhere. And this is why this commercial world is destroying the intelligence of the masses of the people so as to infiltrate, so as to destroy that ability to think, to retain, to that leech-like clot that God has given us, and just turn it into nothing but an empty shell, a zombie. You all remember that movie, The Body Snatchers? That's what we end up being, the body snatchers. Somebody that snatched your soul, that snatched your mind, and you can't think for yourself. You can't do nothing but follow instructions, and you don't do that well. That, you remember that dance, the robot? What do you think that was about? We need to wake up and understand who we are, what we are, and what is our duty to the society. Not only are we to read, but we are to proclaim. We are to live it. We are to teach it. And we are to develop that community life that Almighty God Allah wants to be developed. You see. This word, akram, at the end of the third ayah. This word, proclaim, and thy Lord is most bountiful. This word, akram, you know, in the Arabic grammar, you know, the word that aleph precedes the karamah, kareem. The word is kareem, and we know that kareem means to be noble, to be valuable, to be generous. We know that, but when you put the aleph on before it, in front of it, to precede it, then it means to be more nobler, to be more high minded. In other words, it enhances what you already are. It enhances what you already are, you see. So, one of the most telling part of the definition of this word kareem is high-mindedness. High-mindedness, meaning that we don't be just dealing with trivial-minded stuff. I mean, I don't mean that we don't have fun. We do communicate with each other. We socialize and this kind of thing. But that is not the motivation behind us, the high-minded person, the person that deals with issues and events that shape and mold the thinking of the environment, of the masses. But when the intelligence of the people is destroyed, then we cease to be that kareem. We cease to be that high-minded person that Almighty God has created, you see. So we need to just, you know, Surah 96, that was God's first revelation to the prophet. and he commanded the prophet to read. Imam W.D. Muhammad, it means more than that. Imam Muhammad said that that was Allah appealing to the intelligence of the prophet. He was appealing to the intelligence of the prophet to grow that intelligence, expand on that intelligence. You see, not to his emotional makeup, not to his lower biological makeup, but to the high-mindedness of the individual. And this is what I mean when I say this society is mounting an attack on the intellect, on the intelligence of the masses of the people, so it can destroy our ability to read, not the ability to read words or literally, but our ability to think, our ability to control our own destiny. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We have a caller from the 510 area.
Yes. I actually think that's very key. And I'd like to ask you, how do you see that tying into the concept of humanity being given the ability to read the nature of things? Because if you can't read the nature of things, it doesn't matter if you read the words on the page if it's a lie. And it don't matter if you listened to somebody and heard what they said or spoke if you don't know how to speak the thing that makes the human, not just humanity, but the rest of creation bow down so you can do your job as a trustee. Does that make sense? Do you connect those two concepts?
Yes. A lot of time, my brother, is what we do unknowingly or unwittingly, you know, we put our faith and we put our trust into and thereby putting our whole life into the hands and the control of other people, you know, such as the government, or such as the city officials, and we trust that they will operate the country or the nation or the city or the state in the right way that will benefit the people, you know. But what happens is that we go to sleep on the job. The masses of the people go to sleep on the job, and they begin to and when the people that they put their trust in begin to legislate different laws or begin to act in such a way that it abuses the trust. You know, I heard you use the word being a trustee, because they are really the trustees, because we have put our trust in them and we expect for them to do the right thing, you see. But all the time that doesn't happen.
No, but we don't put our trust in them.
But we have to be aware of what's going on in the environment, so that when we begin to see signs of negativity in the environment, and that particular negativity is going to have an impact on our individual and family and community life, then that's the advantage of being able to read the signs in the environment. You know, we're not supposed to have blind trust. We're supposed to trust, but not having blind trust, if you understand what I'm saying.
There's an old saying about that: trust but verify. You know who said that?
Exactly. Great. Exactly.
He definitely needs to be verified.
And the only way you can do that is that you have to be able to read as well. You have to be able to look into
the
environment. And it's just like if you're on the freeway and you want to get off at 98th Avenue, but you know, you're talking, you're doing something else, you know, you've been distracted. And before you know it, when you look up, you done got past 98th Avenue, and you're 2 or 3 miles past your exit off the freeway, you know. Now
right. You
got to go another 4 or 5 miles in order to make the exit and come back to where you're supposed to be. And that's because we're not reading the signs in the environment. And many times when
Moses
that happens,
when he was trying to get on with Peter.
All right, we thank you so much, my brother. We appreciate it. Thank you for your input. We have 713.
Yeah. How you doing?
Walaikum assalam. How you doing, Brother Marvin?
This is your beloved brother. But excellent topic on the concept of Iqra. And
yes,
when I was listening to you, the imam at the masjid I go to yesterday, he was talking about the same topic. And he had mentioned something in relation to that. Well, he mentioned several things. But the first thing that happens is that they want us to think that because the revelation, the first revelation came to the prophet to read, they want us to think that the prophet was illiterate. And the prophet
right.
wasn't illiterate. You know, it's the type
right.
of reading that you were talking about, and it was an awakening of common sense. And when you made the comment about the people being asleep, what is going to sleep on the people is the use of the common sense. And then another thing that came up in the Kufah was, you know, they have this thing that they say that the sky is the limit. Well, the thing
right.
about it when it comes to Islam, the sky isn't the limit because Allah has said that he has opened up the heavens for us. And when he says that,
yes.
he says read. He says read, like you said, to explore, to go out and to do those type of things. And not only that, but to capture your common senses and use them for your benefit and to grow for it, but to help the rest of creation, you know, in doing that. So the concept of reading and knowing what you have to do and the misconception, and even some Muslims will say, well, Prophet Muhammad was illiterate. No. You have to understand what goes with illiterate. You know, Prophet Muhammad was able to read, and he read with his good common sense, and he read with the direction of Allah. And as a result of that, it sparked what people refer to today as education, business, politics, medicine, all different type of things. So excellent topic, and it's something that we need to focus on a little bit more. So thank you very much for bringing that particular topic up. Assalamualaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, my brother. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Yeah, and the brother is exactly right. You're exactly right. You know, Prophet Muhammad was a businessman. You know, so that in itself is evident that the man could read. He could conduct business. You try to give him one price for his sheep. He said, "No, man, that ain't right. My sheep is more valuable than that." You know, but now we're talking about in this particular topic. We're talking about the exercise of the human mind, the exercise of the human intellect, to be able to look into the environment and, you know, because of the fact that the language that you see coming down the environment and how those people who use media and other means put their messages out there in the environment so that they can manipulate the thinking of the masses of the people. But if you're able to read those signs, if you're able to look at a particular event and think on that event, and then and come up with an intelligent reasoning for that event being present in the first place, then that's what we mean when we say being able to explore, being able to read, being able to, then you go back and teach others about this. Man, I saw this happening. I saw the president. I saw the NSA. I saw this commercial company. They are talking about doing this and that. And when they so we need to prepare ourselves. We need to get our community prepared so that we will be able to withstand whatever negativity is coming down the pipe. If we don't, we're going to leave ourselves wide open and vulnerable to these particular circumstances that is coming in upon us. That's the advantage of being able to read the signs in the environment. I was looking at some commercial messages the other day, and it was very, very blatant the way that they were doing it. I don't know if everybody else has noticed it, you know, but, you know, sometimes when you're looking at TV, there's certain commercials, there's certain messages that come through those commercial messages out there. You know, there's this car dealership. They got a commercial out that where the young lady is talking, and then about a disagreement between her and her friend, and the next scene she's sitting in the car, and she turns the music up, and then she begins to speak in ghetto language, in African American language. You know, this is this, you know, tall, skinny white girl, and she begins to speak in African American language. You know, turns the bass volume up, and she said, hashtag, yeah, you know. Been a long time since I did that. and then there's another company, JCPenney, I believe, another company that's advertising back to school material, clothing, and so forth. And they got this another little white girl looking at herself in the mirror, and she makes the statement that last year I said how when she went back to school, she asked everybody, she said, "How you guys doing?" But this year when she goes back to school, the greeting she will use is "What's up?" You know. And there are several other commercials that's using this African-American language like that. So I don't know what that means, but I know that there's a lot of it was just something that was noticeable to me, you know, and it put me on the alert that, you know, maybe I should be paying attention to this, you know. Is something coming down the pipe that might impact the African-American community? Because all of these commercial companies are using that kind of language, you know. So it was just something that happened, and I noticed it, and I noticed that three or four different companies, commercial companies, conglomerates, are using it. So, you know, and because of that, you know, I'm wondering, is it just coincidence, or is this something that actually has a significant meaning to it, you see? Anyway, so this is what we're talking about, dear beloved brothers and sisters. The dumbing down of the intellect of the masses of the people. I want to move from that on over to Surah 18. And this particular concern in Surah 18 that we want to deal with is dealing with this servant of God. His name was Zulkarnain. And it said that Zulkarnain came upon a people that was caught up between the Gog and the Magog. It said, then followed he another way until when he reached a track between two mountains. He found beneath them a people who scarcely understood a word. This ties in with what we were just saying, a people who scarcely understood a word. What are we talking about here, a people who scarcely understood a word? What we're saying is this. You have college students, college graduates, high school graduates. You have people who conduct business, but they don't know how to read. Scarcely, they're not versed in law. They're not versed in the science of human nature. That's what we're talking about. And because of the fact that they don't have the ability to understand the workings of society, and the workings of those who manipulate the society, then they are held back. And they say the Gog and the Magog people are rushing in on us. What are we to do? What are we to do? Who is this Gog and the Magog people? Following, we hear this mentioned in biblical scripture as well. And following the interpretation of Imam W.D. Muhammad, he told us that these are two extremes that two extremes. One is militarism, you know, martial law, big brother, as they say, and the other one is anarchism. Anarchism, you know, no self-control, no government, you know, just, well, if it feels good, do it. Like the Nike commercial, just do it. See, so what are we saying? How do we see this? Well, we can see it very clearly. We can see it very plainly. We can see how, as we just mentioned a few minutes ago, that how the government monitors your communication with each other, our communication with each other, under the guise of fighting terrorism. We can see that. Brothers and sisters, it's important that we get our heads out of the ground, that we get our heads out of the sky, and come back to having our feet set firmly on this earth, so that we can prepare ourselves and we can prepare our communities to be able to combat anything that Shaitan puts out there. This anarchism, this magog. You know, when we look at how people, you know, just in the news just a couple of days ago, these three young guys, you know, it was reported that they were bored, didn't have anything to do, so they went out and shot somebody. You know, people going into movie theaters and schoolhouses, shooting people, killing people, because they have no self-control. No government. We live in the time of the Gog and the Magog. The Jew, Wamagul, as some people say. It is not something that's coming. It's something that a time that we live in. So now, if we live in this time, what are we to do? How do we protect ourselves? How do we protect ourselves? We live in a very sexually explicit society. All in the schools, on the job site, in the home, in the streets, everywhere. So what are we to do? We need to get busy putting ourselves in a position where we can control the environment that we live in. Well, we can control the people, the thinking of the people, you see, of our people. Well, we can shape and mold the minds of our young people, you see. That's how you control it. When you're able to read the signs in the environment, then you begin to see the urgency. You see the urgency in community development, educational development. Where is the Khair Muhammad school? Where is the Islamic school that our children can go to so that we can shape their thinking? We can shape their hearts and their minds the way Allah wants it to be shaped. Instead of them falling victim to all of this crap that they see in the public school system. That's the purpose for reading. Not just Iqra and read the spoken word, but also Iqra and read and understand the unspoken word as well. We got to grow up out of this elementary type thinking. And some of our brothers, they understand this language, but they're so high up in the clouds until they think what we're talking about is beneath them. All that kindergarten you're talking about. Oh, you know, we understand. Well, you know, if you ain't got nothing down here on the ground, then that understanding, that higher understanding that you have up on the cloud, you just in suspended animation. Because your feet are not firmly planted in reality. Area code 314. 314, you own. Area code 314. 314? All right, it looks like 314. Smith will come back to you in a minute. this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. To be able to read the size of the environment so that you can put a covering or protection on yourself, your community, and your family. We have to establish our educational system. We have to establish business involvement. Now, there's a church here in Oakland, California, and they raised money, and they opened up a restaurant, and the congregation of that particular church and other people from across the city, they patronized that church. But they just stopped with that one church, that one restaurant. Why can't they take money and open up, give a young brother or sister who's ambitious and help them open up a laundromat, a shoe shop, a clothing store? You know, I don't mean just give them money and tell them to run with it. I'm talking about have a process, you know. I'm just putting an idea out there. The masjid can do the same thing. If there are brothers and sisters in your community that are business-minded and can produce a business plan, we need to do this. So just to say ICRA is not getting you to where you need to be. All right, area code 314, I'm back at you.
Yes, yes. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Shabazz, how are you?
Oh, alhamdulillah. How you doing today, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, yes, sir. Yes, sir, fine. You on a roll today, Imam Shabazz, and you're right on point. You're right on point. You know, I was listening to you a little while back when you were talking about those commercials, and you had mentioned the one commercial where it was saying, well, what's up? You know, yeah, there's a sign in that, Imam Shabazz, when they're saying what's up, because these people with knowledge in terms of scripture, think about our deen. The Hanif nature, this the upright nature, the Siratul Mustaqim is going up, you see. So right is always up. And Allah says in the Quran that He sends down the rain, you understand, that to the dead earth, and life is produced. And what raises man up? If it's not God's revelation, the Quran came down to man. It always have come down, you understand, to make, raise man up. And when, even in the Qiyam position, we have to stand up to be upright to even recite the Quran. So I just wanted to say that what is up, right is up. Right has always been up. And those who know, you understand, they try to play on it, what's up. So I say to the listeners, if somebody asks you what's up, tell them right is up. It always has
right
been up. It always will be up. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, my brother. Alhamdulillah. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. And that's exactly right, you know. And so I'm saying, you know, we got to be observant. You know, Imam Muhammad also told us that we need to be watchers. We need to be watchers. There are happenings and goings on in this environment that we live in, and they just happen. And all we know is that when we look up, something else has gone down, and we're not in a position to be able to deal with it. So we have to be watchers. We have to be aware of what's going on around us. And not only just to be aware, not only just to be able to read, but we need to organize ourselves. We need to find a way. Find people in your particular masjid, in your community, who want to go to the imam. Brother imam, I want to start a committee to start opening up, helping brothers and sisters open up a business. You know, we can open up one or two businesses, maybe three or four businesses a year by doing this. Then over a period of time, we will be an economically strong community. And we can set a precedent. We can set goals. We can come up with a process where those who we help to open up a business, they can pay the money back. And they will be able to build the schools and the massages and help other brothers and sisters get started in business. All it takes is just holding fundraisers, doing and raising money just for the sole purpose of opening up a business instead of trying to build a masjid. Open up the business, and then you build the masjid. Get economically grounded, and then you will become spiritually grounded. That's the process. That's how you do it. We got area code 813.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Since you mentioned something about being watchers, I mean, I'm just going through a lot of Imam Wahdati Muhammad stuff, and they say about he was dealing with head watchers. He said you can work for money, you can work for knowledge, you can work for popularity, you can do all of that forever, but you don't have the central life of the human creation on the agenda as something you are supposed to study. Watch and keep, to know when something is influenced, out of form, to know when something is working against it, to see if the culture is hurting it. Say you have to have watchers. You say all of you can't be watchers, so you should choose those good leaders of yours in the church, in the synagogue, and certainly in the mosque. Without leaders, you are doomed. Without leaders, you are dead. Without leaders, you are not going to have anything. Satan and his influences are going to take it all from you. I am not talking about a miscreant. Satan is real. Hellfire is real. You want me to show you Satan? Say, look in the mirror. You probably have become corrupt. All you have to do is look in the mirror. Alhamdulillah. But you say it, and I'm going through it. So I say, let me add that to it. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shabbat.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, my brother. And my brother said that we only got a couple of minutes left here, but I do want to make notice of something else. Right after the passing of Dr. King, the assassination of Dr. King and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's passing, Tina Turner, all of y'all remember Tina Turner. One of the first records or recordings that she came out with was "We Don't Need Another Hero." We don't need another hero. You know, and I paid very close attention to that song. And then the second one she came out with was "What's Love Got to Do with It?" All materialism. What's love got to do with it? So these are messages. She didn't write that music. She didn't write that music. Shaitan, the one who started coaxing her, is the one who wrote that music. And that was the message that they wanted to put out there. Just if they don't have another leader, then we can manipulate the masses. We can control them ourselves. Run, you see. So, dear beloved brothers and sisters, thank you so much for listening. We only have a few seconds to go. And look for us on the broadcast next weekend. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding. Let me bring on Brother Wali Ali with Allah is Almighty. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Bright in the sky, who made the moon appear in the night? Who made the stars like a twinkling of an eye? Who made these things for us to rotate to the right? Allah.
Better say it again. See, we're talking about a love.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.